Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for coming to the show. But yeah, we live in the Twilight Zone where all these weird people in our government think we live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. But they're not so nice and sweet as Mr. Rogers was. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They come bearing gifts. It gets you dependent on them. And then before you know it, you're under their thumb. And the whole time they've got you under their thumb, they're spiritually raping you. And unfortunately, 99.5% of our nation just cannot see that they are being raped. Just because somebody might not be ripping your clothes off and poking your naked body, that doesn't mean you ain't getting raped. You're getting raped by your will. Let me try to explain it to you. Who is your enemy? You can't very well know who your enemy is unless you want to know what it is they want. And in order to know what it is they want, you got to know what your blessings are. What are your gifts? Out on the streets, as a kid growing up on the streets, every single person, I didn't care if they had a badge or not, I had to know what the hell they wanted from me. Because if they were out to take something from me against my will, that person was my enemy. I didn't give a rat's butt who they are. And even though I'm not living on the streets these days, I still live by that motto. So first of all, like I said, in order to figure out who the enemy is, you have to know what your gifts and your blessings are. Because the enemy doesn't come just because. They always have a motive. So what is it they want? Okay. Speaking in a national general aspect, we have free speech. We speak at our will. We speak what we want at our will. We have the right to defend ourselves or others. And we're not forced to take care of other people that way. We do it freely at our will. If we want to be secure in our person, our properties, our homes, our documents, we want that. It is our will to be secure. in our person, our property, and our documents. So, if God, being the creator of our rights and our free will, he gave every single human being and animal, every animal as well, desires to be free. I don't care what religion you are, what country you come from, you were born with the desire to be free. Now, along with that free, we also have free will. Doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want. We just want to be free of judgment, free of oppression, free of detainment, free of everything that is stressful in our lives. We want to live and enjoy our lives. That's what we call pursuing happiness. And God gave that to us. So if God is the one that gave us freedom and the desire to be free, and he's the one that gave us free will, then the devil himself would be our enemy. And anyone who works with him, that could be your neighbor, a relative, a cop, a judge, a politician, a priest, pope, a teacher, anyone, any one of those people, they'll want something from you. What is God's will for us? God, I'm not trying to turn this into a preaching show, so bear with me, folks. Okay, God's will for us is to love each other, to help each other, to give freely of ourselves and our time. He asked us to submit ourselves and our will, our lives and our will to him, but he doesn't force us to do it. We do it freely. We're never forced. And that is where the devil is opposite to God. Everything the devil does, everything, is by force, against your will. Everything he does is against your will, because your will was instilled into you before you even born. It's part of your DNA. But the devil and all his people that work under him and work for him that do the devil's will, they're going to do everything they can to break your will, to take from you, even against your will. So, there's a lot of women in this country, I know a couple myself, that have been raped. Rape is not an act of sex. It's an act of the ultimate beatdown, the break of your will. To be violated is to be have something done to you against your will. This is not right. And everybody knows it. Even the person doing the raping knows it's not right. That's why he tries to hide from the law. He doesn't want to get caught. Otherwise, he would just out on the street, grab any woman he wanted, or boy or man, and have his way. But he doesn't do it that way. He does it in cover, in sneaky ways. But there's so many different ways that you could be raped. And it's not just your body. Okay, but the rapist has many different ways of coming after you. He could be your best friend, and when he's got the moment, he pounces on you. He can manipulate you. He can blackmail you. He can do whatever he's got to do to make you go against your own will and submit to him, or he could take you by force. So will is what the devil wants. That is your enemy, the devil, and anyone that works for him. And who is that? That is anybody that is out to break your will, to take you against your will. So if you have the freedom to speak freely, and somebody's trying to take that freedom of speech from you, they are of the devil, they are your enemy. If somebody is trying to detain you and take your things from you and take your freedom of movement away from you, whether it be in handcuffs, civil codes, regulations, taxes, laws of any sort. If these things restrict your free movement, your free speech, your right to defend yourself, your right to be secure in your own home, people are your enemy. And if your neighbor or your boyfriend or your husband, your girlfriend, your sister, anybody that is trying to take your will, whether it be by force, whether it be by any other means, these people are your enemies. They are not your friends. I don't care whether they're your relatives or not. If they are going against the things that God has given you, then these people are your enemy. So, there's a lot of people that will be your enemy and don't even know they're your enemy because they don't know. But they do know in their soul something's not right. Something's wrong. How do you know? Well, if somebody's trying to steal from you without you knowing it, they're going to try to be your best friend. They're going to try to get close to you where they can find out what it is they want from you, whether it's your body, your money, something in your house. A predator, especially predators of children, you know, they'll go to the, well, back in my days, they would go to the arcade and hang out, kids, and make friends, and before you know it, these kids are now victims of a predator because they trusted them. And the thing is that, you know, in Hollywood, the devil always shows up as some scary-looking evil horror show monster. That's not true. When he comes as something that you would trust, something that you would let your guard down. So how do you know when somebody is the predator, the enemy? They'll do for you, and they'll never ask for anything in return. They will not try to force you against your will. The only exception that I can think of to that rule, let's say you got a buddy and he wants to drive home and he's drunk as a skunk, and I have no choice but to force him by any means not to drive that car, which would probably be a right cross the chops, knock him out. But that's different. That's not trying to take something from somebody. That's trying to stop them from hurting themselves. So that does not qualify. Now, I'm going to bring on the great debater, my brother-in-law, Matthew Lyons.
I don't know about great, hey, man. That would certainly be debatable.
Well, I don't know. I think you're pretty damn good at that debatable stuff.
Well, I don't know. There's certainly some debatable things that come out of my mouth. I'll give you that.
Okay, I won't debate that.
On which note, I would debate that the devil does things by force. All right, I mean, he rolled back around to it, but no, really, he doesn't. I'll rephrase that for people who may not necessarily have a common faith in God. And that's that bad things are done willingly or if
you don't have to. You don't have to believe in God and the devil to understand what I was just talking about. It wasn't a preaching thing. It was just the way I know how to explain it. See, here's
right. That's why I was
phrasing
it as I did. In some
cases, the devil will show up bearing gifts, being the nice guy, being a sweetheart, helping out, doing everything, you know. But he's only doing it to trap you. And once he's got you trapped, then the force comes. And you find yourself in situations you don't want to be in and you can't get out of them. You are there against your will.
No, you see, but that's my point, is you didn't necessarily get there against your will. You walked into it freely.
By hit,
cause
by it, that
the whole battle
trickery.
Between, the whole battle between good and evil is the acts of the individual, whether they be good or bad, or, you know, godly or satanic.
Okay. Well, let's do this then. Try this on for size. Let's say you and a co-employee are working together, and one day the co-employee somehow gets you to do some cocaine with them. And then after you've done the cocaine, the co-employee says, dude, you're going to do this, and you're going to do it whenever I want, or I'm going to let everybody know what you did here today, and now you're screwed. Yeah, you got there by choice, by your own will, but once you realized what was going on, you were no longer able to get out of it. You're held against your will.
Not if you willingly entered into the I'll cover your backside, because, you know, I can think of a similar situation that I'll not describe too specifically, where it's possible that certain an individual working for a particular organization may have made a bad choice or falsely presented something that they said they had that they didn't. And their coworkers, because they felt this camaraderie that they had to cover the backside of the person who made the error or the bad decision in the first place, ended up going, don't worry, we'll cover you.
Yeah, but now you're talking about
and
covering a lie. That's
they
not...
They all willingly made the decision to enter into the falsehood.
Okay.
Right?
Well,
so they weren't there. There's no force involved in the decision to get there. Once you get there have realized that you're in.
We got the point there.
Okay.
Right, we got the point there. Now,
right,
for the listeners, how this is going to, how does this affect what's going on in this country today? We've got laws and regulations, statutes, and cops doing shit that's against our Constitution. Our founders outlined our rights given to us by our Creator. Whether you believe in a Creator or not, that's your choice. But they didn't come from government. Let's just say that. They did not come from government, and government has no business trying to take them away. Now, how do you know the devil or the evil is behind the government? Because the government, what are they trying to do? They're trying to make you buy health care against your will. They make you buy a license and insurance and registration and tags and all that. Why? So they can keep control of you. You don't want that. You don't need it. I mean, if you didn't have to spend any money on that crap, you would never do it. They make you pay taxes that you don't want to pay. They never asked you your permission. They signed you into a contract whether you like it or not. Your birth certificate. You're bought and sold on the stock market all the time. You have nothing to say about that. How come you don't own yourself? That's against your will. So what do we do about it? That's the question. What do we do about it? Got an answer, Matt?
I have no answers. One of my adages used to be, oh, I have all the answers. I'm just looking for the questions. Well, you know, that was the folly of youth. No, I don't have any answers. What I do have is the fact that maybe our focus needs to not be entirely on those in government and aim some at what do we do to the big movers and shakers, the money people, the greedy mothers that manipulate what goes on in government because they buy and sell elected officials who may have
beneficial. You just hit the nail on the head. You follow the money. The money is where it's at. But it's more than just money. In politics, it's power, control. So if you've got money men financing both sides of the war, you're being played a chess game. You're the pawn. And therefore, yeah, if you take out the money, well, then you just added confusion into their ideas. That would definitely be a big deal. However, let's put it this way. If you ever get a stopwatch and you go and you happen to be there when somebody's robbing a bank, I would bet you money that stopwatch would show a faster response time at a bank robbery than it would be at somebody's house where somebody might be shooting somebody. They protect the money. So you would have a hell of a time getting to the money first. You got to take the money's power plug away first, as far as I'm concerned. And the only thing that stops we the people from getting to that money, people, and those politicians in high office are the police. Once you've removed that equation from the situation, you, me, and everybody else in America walk up and grab the politicians, grab a hold of the damn money people, put them on trial, and sentence them according to their crimes. That's the way I see it. I mean, now, as far as force is concerned, there is a way, and I've been preaching this for a while, there is a way that we can use force without a bunch of bloodshed. Can't talk about it here on air. I can't talk about it on the phone. That's why I've been asking everybody to start a camping trip and invite all the patriots within a certain miles away from your home. So this way, everybody that needs, has ideas and plans of how to do things, you can sit over a campfire and talk about it. You don't have any, shut your phones off, take your batteries out, and have open conversation. Talk about it. So that's what I would say. But so far, the camping trip idea seems to be a flop because we're not getting much of a response from anybody on that. And I don't know why. I would think that it would be easier to go camping on a weekend than it would be to go to D.C. because going to D.C., you ain't going to get nothing except laughed at. That's all, because that's all they've been doing for the last 8 years. They look out them little bulletproof windows of their White House and their Capitol, and they're laughing at us and calling us domestic terrorists. Your votes have been corrupted, yet your voting ain't no good anymore. The petitions, hell, I think they use those for kitty litter boxes, but no. And besides that, no matter what the situation is, whether it's raising a child or doing whatever you're doing, sometimes you just got to put a little force behind your voice. Doesn't mean you got to shoot them and kill them, put them to the ground 6 feet under. No, it means that you got to put some force. And under the laws of the citizen grand jury, if you started detaining cops, bad cops that is, bad judges, bad prosecutors and district attorneys. Now, the cops, they can be ignorant, just like you and I might not know all the laws. Well, just because they wear a badge don't mean they know every law. I mean, hell, they've proven that time and time again. And half the time, they don't know the law. They can't even tell the difference between a constitutional law versus an unconstitutional law. But the judges, prosecutors, district attorneys, public defenders, they're different. They're different than the cops. They're different than the politicians because in their training to be lawyers, they do know the difference between a constitutional law and an unconstitutional law. So what they're doing today is nothing like what our founders had intended. And therefore, they are willfully overthrowing the Constitution of the United States, a.k.a. overthrowing the government. And they're doing it deceptively. They know the difference. They know they're breaking the laws of the Constitution. And those people that are doing it and knowing it, by enforcing and incarcerating and fining people, citizens, for laws that they know damn right well are unconstitutional, do not violate any of the three elements involved in the cause of action, a.k.a. the definition of a crime, which is injury, damage, or violating someone else's civil liberties. They're enforcing those things. They are willfully committing treason, and they all need to be hung. Got anything to say there to that, Matt?
Well, that the way you walked into the thing about having little campfire meetings and discussing options or developing plans, would the way you went into it by saying you prefaced it with, like, I'm not going to go into details, or there are certain things that I'm not going to say on the air or over the phone. Well, by logically following that, you may not know about these things going, because the same would hold true of people contacting you about doing it. You see what I'm saying? I'm sure there's more going on out there than you are aware of for that very reason. Therein lies the problem.
Too, but here's the thing about that camping thing. I have put that out a couple of weeks ago, and it's like it can happen anywhere in the United States, and all these people that are on Facebook claiming to be patriots could absolutely go get a cornfield with a porta potty and have a party with some other patriots and sit down and figure out plans of action, because plans of talk just ain't cutting it anymore. You see what I'm saying? We need action.
And because you mentioned doing, you know, talk to your neighbors, your friends, and people around you, that's what I'm saying, you know, it may be happening, you just don't know because people haven't used open means of communication to let you know.
No, well, I'm not expecting them to. The only thing I've said on Facebook is that if you have one, let me know. I will try to attend it. I can't promise it because I do not drive my own truck. But if I'm in the neighborhood, and I've already told my boss that if I'm in the neighborhood, I'd be more than happy to come go camping with you and lay out the ideas and plans that I can't say here. And believe you me, I have ideas. Listen, we got another guy with his hand up, and we're going to bring him in. 951, please identify yourself.
Hi, William.
Hi, William. How are you?
No,
good. You're on the air with me and Matthew Vine.
Oh, yeah. It's listening to the show and kind of wondering where Liberty Lisa was.
Oh, no. Liberty Lisa, she's on, I believe, Tuesdays, the Truth Train.
Oh, all right. Yeah. It's the same number, I guess. I get confused.
Oh, yeah, same number, same web address. Every night of the week is a different show, and tonight you got me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was enjoying the show. It kind of brings back some of the old advertising points of interest, like on Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory, how they said that how a lot of politicians, a lot of public figures, token figureheads had left the United States. And more to the point, they actually left the United States and left the Northern Hemisphere. And there were such phrases of things that, you know, people mulling things over and figuring out how to do things best way is great. But there was an important message in a lot of things that a lot of those people had said, was that something was coming this way that no one could stand up against. And, you know, they not only left the United States because of the upheaval that's more than likely or inevitably going to occur, you know, with law and psychotic congressmen and politicians and all that. But they also
we already got that stuff.
Yeah, we do. And that's turned mostly the California area.
Southern California area. These days.
Yeah, it's getting pretty wild. My point is that that they not only got up and left because of you know, Region 2 of Colorado and FEMA and all that, but they also left because they left, and one of the people that I spoke with, they left because of the radiation that's coming in and going to inundate the northern hemisphere.
You know, William, let me interrupt on that one. Okay, we could sit here all day long and worry about the radiation, worry about media rights, worry about alien invasions. We could worry about ISIS. We could worry about all these other things. But you know what? I don't care if the world was going to end tomorrow. I will fight for what's right until there's no more breath. And this is what's happened. What's going on here ain't nothing. In my personal belief, I believe that this is the testing ground. And when I'm dead and gone, my spirit will go to heaven, and then I'll have a whole better life. But anyway.
And I'm sure just like myself, getting there, you have a lot more things to say as well. There's a lot of points to be made. But truth be told, I've been looking into the radiation thing, and there is a concern. Other than that, not much anyone can do about it. Agreed.
I'm not worrying about no radiations. You know why? Because it makes as much sense to me to worry about the radiation, something I can't do anything about, as much as a nuclear bomb is about to drop on my head. What am I going to do? Jump up and catch it? I can't do anything about it. So why worry about it? It's God's hands. I'll let him worry about it. Because you know what?
Okay.
Enjoy every minute of your breath, because never promised us another one. But anyhow, we got more callers with their hands up. And I'm going to bring 336 in onto the conversation. 336, who got here?
We have Denise. Hi.
Hi, Denise. How are you, honey?
I'm doing
Denise
great.
Freeman.
How are you? Yeah.
All right. Denise Freeman is the young lady that's actively busy helping our militia guys and other citizens down there on the border. She's been a serious working aholic trying to help this patriot movement and secure our borders. Mike, congratulations and thank you for your service there, Denise.
No thanks needed. I love these guys.
All right. Well, what would you like to add to today's discussion?
Well, actually, at the moment, I was just tuning in and listening and thought I might yell out every once in a while.
Oh, okay. Well, you had your hand up, so I brought you in, and I just figured you had something to say.
The guys down there, we did get some supplies to them thanks to some nonprofit organizations that I work in direct contact with. And we have Americans for Constitutional Recovery is a Facebook page for helping the guys down at the border. We're a nonprofit organization as well, and all the links are there for contributing funds, mailing them direct supplies, gas cards. Our fundraisers link should be posted there. I keep saying it over and over, but it's not there yet. But hopefully within the next day or two, we'll have the T-shirts and the little rubber bracelets. And we have all kinds of fundraisers we're fixing to get real hard into. We the American People is a group that we formed as well. It promotes every public patriotic event. And we have over 6,000 media contacts, period.
Sweet. Are you going to make it to the 9/11 biker ride up in D.C.?
I will not, but I will be hooked in. Your live stream. We'll be hooked into several of our pages. We have a combination of somewhere between 200 to 400 different Facebook pages that we network
if
in.
Anybody out there is able to record my live Ustream from the cab of this truck during this Biker Trucker Vet Rally?
We can make that happen.
Please do.
We can
please
make that
do.
Happen.
Because during the trucking rally last year, I did get a recording from my cousin, but she had to do it with a webcam pointed at her computer. All right. Well, we've got
we the American People organization that I'm affiliated with and helped start up with a bunch of great guys and girls. We work really hard to, and we all do it for free because we want our country. We want it back to
absolutely
where it ought to be. And we
absolutely
use all
that's
different good areas of Americans, from right down to people that just share posts all the way up to the guys at the border. We involve every American that wants to be proactive, period.
Right.
We,
hey, Denise, you want to hear something off topic for a second? You want to hear something really, really Twilight Zone?
Yeah, go shoot. Shoot. You know,
you remember,
are you in the Twilight or are you
last
in the tinfoil?
Probably the Twilight. Remember last Sunday when you told me your friend in Fort Wayne, Indiana, wanted to talk to me?
Yes, sir.
My wife and I both had the same dream.
I imagine that.
Yeah, go figure. Well, we got another one with their hand up, and I'm going to go ahead and bring this person into the conversation.
You
going to
tell me about the dream or what?
No. 757, not on air. No. Hey, 757, who's this?
This would be Keeper, sir. I am absolutely ecstatic to talk to you, sir. This is the first time I've been on your show. I love it. Denise has told me a lot about it. I can actually say without a doubt, more information, more food donations are coming into the gentlemen at the border, our concerned citizens that are doing what our government should be doing. They're working together. We also picked up another camp, a camp in Arizona called Camp Mountain Rebel. They're doing the same thing in Arizona. They've been doing it out of pocket, and a lot of people are moving to get behind them. And I'm really, really excited that that more people are becoming aware of the situation, the reality of the situation. And I just got out there. I've been amazed to watch what's actually transpired in the last, few weeks.
I'll tell you the same thing I told Commander Davis and what was that, KC, last Sunday. I'll tell you the same thing. This phone number that you called tonight, every single night of the week, there's a different show, and each and every one of those shows, you tell them the Dashboard Outlaw upset you, and they will give you a little bit of airtime to get some support for these people on the borders.
Well, thank you, sir.
And
we appreciate that.
And, Kiefer, just to put it out there for everybody that knows my name, you better start learning his, because he's taken over my part as in what I was doing. As far as public relations and media. You will hear him a lot more than you hear me, because I'm moving more behind the scenes to get more actually done. So Keeper is going to take a lot of weight off of me. And
well,
I love
thank you for joining the support and the team, should I say, Keeper. Thank you.
Yes, sir. It is actually a team. We've got a lot of good people that are working towards not just helping the guys at the border, but getting the word out there, getting more patriotic events noticed. Not the least of which is the biker rally in D.C. The Oath Keepers, that is a couple of days later, the ports of egress between the United States and on September 20th. There's a lot of good people out there that are trying to do a lot of good things and bring
the
attention
overpasses.
Yes, a lot of good people are trying to bring attention to a lot of good things that are happening, and we need to get this out there, let people know that more people are waking up to the reality of the lies that our government has been feeding us and expecting us to believe.
And
well,
please,
Keeper,
go
if
to
you don't
the...
mind, if you don't
Earl,
mind,
I
want to bring the show back to the topic. But go ahead, Denise. After you're done, I'm gonna direct
yes.
this show back to where I was.
Absolutely. Everybody that hears this, please go to We the American People, Article 5, We the American People Movement page. You will, that's just been created to show everybody in America every patriotic event, period. And we want all, every one of them, hit us up because we want to help organize you, promote you, and put the word out and let the government and everybody else know, hey, we're watching, and numbers do matter. They really do.
All right. Good deal. I'll tell you what, folks. You got to stop and think about this. There would be no Dashboard Outlaw. There would be no need for Denise Freeman or Kiefer or Matthew because we would be busy enjoying our own lives if our government was doing their job. Our borders would be secured. Our rights would be adhered to. We would enjoy our freedom of speech, freedom to defend ourselves, carry our weapons with us, to protect our homes. We would be free like our founders intended, like God invented it, us to be free. We would be busy enjoying our lives. But no, we're sitting here talking about who's our enemy. Why? Because somebody wants to take us against our will and make us do things the way they see it instead of allowing us to run our own lives. Somewhere along the way, this government has decided they are our rulers, not our representatives. And because they're not doing their job, we are having this conversation. Do you see where everything goes from a domino effect? It's like, what the hell, man? Come on. All I want to do is get up, make a little money, take care of my wife, take care of my house, grow old, and maybe have something left behind for my kids and grandkids if I have any. You know?
Yeah, with,
but I
with
can't
what?
Do these things. I gotta spend my time sitting here talking to a bunch of people that don't even know me and hopefully get more people willing to use a little bit of force take back freedom that God gave us, which we never actually lost. It's all an illusion. But the only way we're ever going to do it is we have to stifle the people that are trying to take this from us.
Well, hang on, Outlaw.
Let's
people do
way.
Know you. People do know you. They have been listening to your show for how long? They relate to you. They do know you. You've allowed them into a part of your life and listen to you regularly. So, yeah, people do know you. They get where you're coming from. So don't think
that
they don't.
I'll go with that. It's simple as this, though. Kiefer, what do you do for a living?
I'm a plumber.
A plumber. Man, you want to come to my house? I need some help.
Will you fly me out there? Or ship me out there or whatever, then yeah, I'll be more than happy to. But right now I got things I got to attend to. But go on.
But anyhow, you would be a plumber. You would be doing what you got to do. You'd come home, have dinner with your wife. You would watch your favorite TV show. You would go play bowling with the boys on Saturday. Whatever it is that you enjoy doing. But no, you're needed to help with Denise doing the Secure the Border and Patriots movements.
Well,
you
have more resources to do it
if our government was doing what they're supposed to.
Absolutely.
Actually,
I turned off my...
I was just going to throw in that he'd have more resources to do the things he enjoys and is, we all would, and are passionate about if a government wasn't commandeering your hard-earned earnings illegally and using it for what they see fit rather than what you see fit.
Yeah, that's a great point. People don't understand that 70% of what it is that you earn is gone in taxes. Now, that's not just saying income tax. You have to include
local,
all the taxes that you pay every day.
Yeah.
Restaurant, property tax, whether it's a car you own or a property you own, restaurant tax because you go out and eat, the tax that you pay at the convenience store or the grocery store, 70% of what you make is gone in taxes. Gone. You don't get to see it. It's just it goes somewhere,
well,
and you have.
Yeah. Well, look at that. You're a plumber. I'm a long haul trucker. Now here's the thing. I could tell you all about trucking, and what's in it, but I couldn't tell you much about plumbing other than it sucks, especially when you got to fix pipes in the cold of the winter.
There's truth to that.
but here's the thing that I do know. As a truck driver, I have to pay, of course, the workman's comp tax, Social Security tax. I got to pay an UCR, an IFTA tax, the IRP plate, outrageous insurance, the 2290. Every single truck driver, every single truck on the interstate highways, whether they're Canadian or American or Mexican trucks, have to pay the United States a 2290. And that, if I remember right, is $550 per truck. So you think, how many millions of trucks are on these interstates, and each one of them gives $550 a year for heavy highway usage tax? That alone would be enough money to smooth out every stinking road in this country. But yet, we've got some bumpy-ass roads and potholes that swallow a truck. There's more taxes. Now, if my wife was online right now, she would probably be able to rattle off a whole lot more taxes to the trucking than I could, because she's the one that does the taxes. Me, you do not trust with numbers.
She's online. You have to look in the chat applet. If Linda starts typing in there.
She's keeping quiet. I see her.
Well,
there.
I got the landline tied
quiet.
Up.
Well,
I'm sure she'll
right,
have
man.
An airport for
you
later.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. I'm sure there's a lot of taxes if you have your own plumbing business. But,
it was
government and their fees and their taxes that killed my trucking company.
Well, let me throw this in,
because
too.
Because I had to pay government so much money, I had no money to fix my truck when it broke.
Yeah. When we do an inspection, okay, we call up the county for an inspection, right? If something fails during that inspection, then it's a $35 fee for them to come back. I apparently, the first one is free, but that has to go in with the building permit. But for them to come back if something fails, it's a $35 fee to the plumbing company. Where does that money go? I mean, really, does it cost somebody $35 an hour to come out there and look at the place for 15, 20 minutes? No, it doesn't. Is there an administrative fee? Yeah, who knows? But if you fail an inspection, it costs $35 to come back one time. Where does that money go?
And if there are repeated visits that they have to make, it probably goes up each time, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, you get two.
Yeah.
You get one free inspection, then you get a recall, and you get two. Anything after that, your plumber sucks.
Yeah, well, see, the point behind all this, though, is that if we honestly, truly had a free market, let's use you as an example, Kiefer. Am I saying that right, Kiefer?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, I want to make sure I've got your name correct. Okay, let's say, for example, Matthew was a plumber and you are a plumber. And Matthew, his plumbing sucked. And yours
it does.
Had the good one. And you had the good one, and whenever you did a job, your customer was happy for 10 years before they had to call you again. But Matthew, his job sucked every winter. Somebody had to call him up and bring him out and get him the fixed pipes that he fixed last year. Well, it would only be a matter of time before the free market, word would get around, and don't call that guy Matthew for plumbing. He sucks. Call Kiefer. He fixes it and stays fixed. You see what see what I'm saying? But no,
absolutely.
We have the government trying to manipulate everything, including our income, our businesses, how thick your toilet is, how much is the water pressure in your house. Where did they get the authority to do these things? They don't have it. We didn't give it to them. We, the people,
correct,
are the fourth level of government. And let's put it this way. Everybody that I've talked to for the last 8 years want to tell me, oh, no, you don't want to fight the government. You'll lose. Okay, you sit here and whine about it, and I'm going to go try and give it my best shot. All right? I don't care if they have the fanciest weapons in the world. Those people that are working those weapons, 50% of them will be on our side.
Bro,
yeah.
I'd like to throw in something on this. You're mentioning, you talk about, you know, having to use force to really begin making any headway against the oppressive tendencies that our government has been taking in recent times. However, I would, and you're a good example of this. I would have to say that a force of will and intelligence is just, or intelligence is an effective tool you have by learning the laws as they pertain to certain things that you have been cited with as you're out working on the road and walked into courts and put schooled lawyers to shame because of you presenting a case. And I have to believe that if that became a more broadly exercised right that individuals assume, do the homework, learn the laws, learn...
Okay. Let me give the listeners a little bit more background on what you just said. All right. About 2 years ago, I had an accident in Houston, Texas. I hit a woman in the rear end of her car. Found out she didn't have insurance. Went to court in Houston,
license,
Texas.
Right?
Judge, no, she had a license. She didn't have insurance. She the court called her as a state witness. She didn't show up, but the cop did. And they automatically started trying to talk about how what a bad truck driver I was and how I was neglectful, blah, blah, blah. And I used what the prosecutor said against him. And when it was all said and done, I made the cop look stupid, made the prosecutor look stupid in front of the jury and judge. And then when the jury gave me the not guilty verdict, the judge dismissed the case. And then he asked me where I went to the law school, and I told the judge, no, sir. In fact, I never finished the eighth grade. And he looked at the prosecutor and goes, ooh, you just got owned by an eighth grade dropout.
And that's my
wow.
point, is that it's not beyond the ability of anybody who looks into exactly what the law is if they're being charged with something or having to go in and address a fine or a citation to learn the right things and go in. And rather than putting force against the powers that be, put some intelligence, put some mind, some will into it.
Right, right. Well, what the point is, though, the only reason why I'm able to do what I do is I use my imagination coupled with what I read so I can build a story in my head. And when I get to the courtroom, I have the story, I have the imagination, the same way I do this show. I use my imagination to come up with these topics and the things I want to talk about. And everything I speak is not scripted. I speak it out of my heart and my common sense. But when it comes to the planning of a forceful event, let me call it that, a forceful event against government, I have plans in my head where we the people can take city after city after city, entire police forces, an entire city council, Capitol, whatever you want to call it, courthouse. We could take the whole damn government thing without ever firing a shot.
Or without ever showing up with a weapon.
You would have a weapon just in case, you know, because there's always that contingency that something could go wrong. But
yeah.
Let's put it this way. When you've got the weapon, you don't have to pull the trigger to make the other end of the person at the other end of that barrel submit to what you're telling them. Let's put it this
yeah.
way. If you've got 20 cops and 100 people surrounding those 20 cops are going to surrender, and you put them in
right.
their own cuffs.
An example would be Bundy Ranch.
Right. Well, exactly. That's a good example. The militia people made them submit and surrender. That's exactly right. Nobody ever fired a shot, which throws every gun advocate, gun control advocate's argument out the window, because all those Tea Party people didn't go around killing everybody. How about that? But it can be done. And if I ever get one of these people to start a camping trip, say, Earl, come tell us your plan, I will do everything I can, and I will sit down and lay it out in detail. But if I had enough men and four techies, one computer, one radio communication, one of cell phone communication, and another one, an electrician. If I had these four people, I would take a complete, entire police force and the city courthouse without ever firing a shot. And I'm not kidnapping. I'm detaining, citizen's arrest. And then I would have the people of that city as the grand jury, the citizen's grand jury, hear the evidence, and then the thing is that people don't realize that the citizen's grand jury is more powerful than any other government. The government, the judges, the cops, nobody can do anything about a citizen's grand jury.
You're talking about
citizen's
grand
jury. Not a lynch mob. No, I'm talking about a citizen's grand jury. Look up Larry Clayman and read his work. He is an attorney, and he explains the power of the citizen's grand jury. That's where you got 20 citizens, and they can detain, charge, try, and sentence any government.
Yeah, that's citizen delegates. That's that's basically we the people for the people. That's how it comes down.
Right.
There's not a damn thing they can do about it. And let's put it this way. If you arrest an entire police force and the whole entire courthouse of politicians and bureaucrats and all that stuff, and you try them all, and a few of them get out of there with minor charges or whatever, but several of them are found guilty of treason, well, treason is the only crime in the United States Constitution that already has its penalty labeled.
Our
federal government has been able to evade that through their lies.
But use your imagination. Let's say we did that. We took a whole city and their whole police force, and we tried each and every one of them according to the things. While we have them all detained, we can go through their computers and their files, and we could find out and name names and who's attached, who's a conspirator, who's accessory to the crime, blah, 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 blah. And by the time the trial is all over with, now we know where to go next, because we now know the names of the people that are trying to implement Agenda 21, trying to implement Common Core, trying to implement all these other things that are unconstitutional. So you just follow the chain. And imagine one-third of this one particular city in your imagination was publicly hung. What would that send a message to the rest of the governments all over the world?
There would be a lot of dirty diapers in Congress.
That would also put fear of the people back into the hearts of the government. And when the government fears the people, that's liberty. When the government, or when the people fear the government, that's tyranny. So it would send a loud, clear message that we, the people, are absolutely serious about our freedom. I got to go to commercial break. So hang on, folks, and I will be right back in just a few minutes.
Hi, friends. When it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebbdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
Congressman Paul, you voted against the war. Why are all your fellow Republicans up here wrong?
We talk about a humble foreign policy, no nation building, don't police the world. That is a conservative, it's a Republican, it's a pro-American, it follows the Founding Fathers, and besides, it follows the Constitution.
A wonderful, wonderful night to discuss an amazing document, and I'm looking forward to getting back to it. Seems like every week something new and amazing pops out at us.
Yes, they want to claim that their way is decent society. Uh-huh. Their way is not decent society. Their way is control, subjugation, and slavery.
Constitution, Constitution, Constitution of the United States.
Oh, yeah, it's day 9 of the Constitution. Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on NWO Truth Radio.
What if you worked for the government and the government didn't work for you? What if freedom were a myth? What if we don't live in a free country? What do we do about it?
Another day, just like any other. Out of the blue, it turned to horror.
And we as a Congress have the ability, the authority to undo regulations. For too long, we have allowed our regulatory bodies to write law, and we do nothing about it.
How could they? They will pay. When they eat. Go cry.
Because it isn't the guilty that suffer. So often it's the innocent who suffer.
When the ego cries.
When the ego cries. The Dinner Drive with Bill Miller, Sunday to Wednesday. 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, only on Worldwide Resistance Radio.
This is Liberty Lisa. You've reached the Truth Training. non-judicial foreclosures, where they're just taking people's homes without even giving them due process. That's wrong. It's corrupt. It's criminal. It's fraud.
The Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emergers Radio.
The cause is bigger than just me. The cause is for everyone.
You're listening to The Dashboard Outlaw with Earl Conlon. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
And we are back. I do want to appreciate and thank everybody in the chat room, Linda Jean, my wife Linda, several guests that I don't know your names, Scorpion and Speak the Truth. Thank you for joining us tonight. Come back again next Sunday and bring some friends. Anyhow, bringing on Matthew and Miss Freeman and Kiefer.
Hello, hello, this is Kiefer.
Hey, guys. You were about to say something, Mr. Kiefer, when we had to go to commercial, I believe.
Well, I don't remember what the thought was now, and since that's the case, I don't think it's relevant anymore.
I think you were talking about your Playboy magazines. And
oh, was that what it was? Oh, okay. Well, here in a minute. you're going to hear my microwave go off because I'm going to eat dinner.
Oh, okay. What's for dinner?
I believe it's a turkey pot pie, if not chicken. No, I eat simple,
microwave,
you know, I mean.
Turkey pot pie.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a single man, you know, and it's whatever's easiest at the moment.
Ah, okay. Hey, you hear that, Linda Jean? He's single. You're single, ain't you?
No. Linda's married to you.
Lady.
Don't try and fool me.
No, I was just talking to Linda Jean in the chat room. She's a lady that's on my Facebook page, and she's here every Sunday. And I was just thinking, well, you're single. She's single. I'm trying to play Cupid
here.
Oh,
Lord.
You know?
Tell me we ain't changing the venue of the show to a dating service.
Well, you're single, aren't you, Denise?
No, sir. I have a boyfriend. I'm single, but I have a boyfriend that I live with.
You hear that, guy? She's got a swing in her backyard.
Yes, sir. I got a real nice swing in my backyard.
There you go. Hear that? Well, anyhow, back to the topic. Our enemy. Our enemy is anybody that stands between us and our freedom.
Can I throw in that?
Free of judgment, free of conviction. We want to live clean lives. Well, let's put it this way. If ISIS decides to start causing trouble on our soil, that is definitely somebody that is going to be stirring up pot and keeping us from living free, clean lives. You can't negotiate with people like that. You got to just put that evil down. These people here in government, they're almost as bad in my particular point of view because they will not negotiate. They want things the way they want things. And when we go against their status quo, they will do like they did Charles Dyer and find a way to stick you in jail, put kiddie porn or something on your computer, and then come arrest you and say you're a bad person, and everybody believes them because they're the authority figures. They're only authority figures because we gave them that power. It's time for we the people to take it back and put the power back where it belongs, with we the people. Our founders designed our system not for a powerful federal government, but a powerful local government. The people that we go grocery shopping with, gas stations, and bowling alleys, and movie theaters in our local town, those are the people that are supposed to be the most powerful part of the government because they have to answer to we the people. But when we have sheriff's departments getting militarized and enforcing unconstitutional laws, we have a serious problem, because when the police are not obeying the law, there is no law. They're making it up as they go along. You just shut up and do whatever they say.
Resistance
becomes duty now.
I just read an article recently where I'm not sure of the university, but they were able to get or are able to get a hold of grenade launchers through the same kind of grants that local police departments get. They just got to fill out the form, make the request, and it's given to them from our government at a cut rate. It's Army surplus, military surplus, basically is what it is. Here locally in Jamestown, they received a MRAP vehicle, mine resistance anti-personnel vehicle, from our military, at a very reduced rate. And they kept saying that it wasn't going to cost the taxpayers any money. And that's not actually true, because you got to think about maintenance. You have to think about the initial cost of it. The military is not going to give it to them for free, because it costs them money and they need to make their money somehow other than just taxes. But this vehicle is sitting in a warehouse someplace in Jamestown, Virginia, at the moment collecting dust, because locally we're kind of peaceful. But somebody has to maintain the vehicle. You have to, have to have the employee to maintain the vehicle, change the oil, make sure that's running correctly, do all the things like that, change the tires, and that kind of thing. When you hear that kind of a thing, it's not going to cost the taxpayers any money. You must be aware that it actually is, and that is a direct lie. That's one of the things that we're talking about is how the government or media will manipulate what it is that you hear.
One of those MRAP trucks, I could stop them easy. All you got to do is shoot the brake chamber. And if the truck is going fast enough and you shoot the brake chamber, the people inside the truck will be bugs on the windshield.
Sometimes you're with the windshield, sometimes you're the bug, right?
I drive a tractor and trailer. I know what a brake chamber looks like. And if somebody that's a sharpshooter was laying on their belly and shot one of those things as the truck rode by, if that truck's doing 60 miles an hour, once that thing locks up, the people inside are going to be stuck to the windshield.
One observation, bro, that's a heck of a shot to make for a sharpshooter who's in a position to hit the brake chamber, because they'd have to be basically close and under with an upward angle. And it traveled 60 miles an hour.
All they would have to do, because I've seen pictures of the truck, all they'd have to do is be laying on their belly on the ground as the truck passed by, and they could hit it.
Close enough to be able to pick it. Never mind.
No, we see what you're getting at, and it's a valid point.
A 60-mile-an-hour target at close range is really a tricky shot to make.
That's why they're called sharpshooters, because they're better than you and I.
Yeah, exactly. So, this when you hear that, when you hear your local statement from your police department saying that, well, it's not going to cost the taxpayers any money, it is. You don't fool yourself, or don't be fooled by what they're saying, because it is going to cost money. There's a whole lot of maintenance. The vehicles that they drive every day, that's costing me money. Okay, so don't be fooled when you hear them say, well, it's not going to cost the taxpayers any money. Everybody should know the truth.
In relation to that, there would be some additional or ongoing training for the officers who are manning that unit. Now, a news item just hit here in a county down, I think, south of Atlanta, about the ongoing training for the sheriff's department. Several officers were caught cheating on it. Thought I'd throw that out there. It sounds, it's a relevant thing when you have all of these law enforcement people who are being paid by your tax dollars. And in order to keep their jobs, much like the elected officials, they're doing whatever they have to just keep their jobs, regardless of whether it's white or legal or not.
Well, yeah, the same kind of thing has been transpiring with our military, where the guys manning the nuclear weapons, they're not receiving the regular training, or they haven't been able to get the regular training, so they're getting texts from somebody that actually knows so they can answer the question. They've been found out, they've been caught, they've been sleeping on a job, the doors have been left open to sensitive areas. We've seen the stories, we've read about them. So the same thing happens, you know, throughout all of it. It's not just your local. When you hear stories about that, you have to sit there and you really got to scratch your head and wonder about how these things transpire. And it's not a lack of responsibility, maybe perhaps at an individual level, because some people just simply don't know where they should go to get the
training, exactly.
You know, to go to it. If you want to talk about responsibility, isn't it the superior to say, well, you need to be at this class to reinforce your training? As a plumber, I'm responsible to take care of my own license. I have to go to regular training or update classes to maintain my license. If I don't do that, it's not renewed through the state. They look at it and they go, well, we haven't received your, you know, continued education.
Documentation, yeah.
So it falls to the fault of kind of everyone in that aspect. So we get regular notifications. You need to, you know, have this done by this time. The same kind of thing should happen there, but it doesn't. So responsibility falls by the wayside.
Let me throw something out there that one of our people in the chat room said. Scorpion says that he has trouble keeping his mind every day knowing all this truth. And here's what I've been asking that question for quite a while now, is that, okay, you're awake, you're aware, you know all this truth. Now, what are you going to do with that knowledge? Are you going to do something with it, or are you just going to talk about it?
Exactly.
I've said it many, many times. I'd give up this radio station in a heartbeat to go do something. But if I just do something by myself, I'm the crazy man at 11 o'clock. How the hell
Earl,
do you get these people to actually do something?
Is your audience growing?
Is my audience what?
Growing. Are you increasing in listeners?
Well, not to brag, but I've been number one for the last 3 weeks.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. All right. Is not informing the people doing something? Here's all right. Before
only,
break,
only if it's going somewhere. If everybody's just passing around knowledge on Facebook, oh look at this article, look at this issue, but that's all they're doing. No, it's not going anywhere. If somebody's actually using that knowledge to
do
push
something
back and force the bad people back under the rock they come from, then maybe it would be doing something. But right now, It's not doing much, because if it were, this government would not progress as what they've been doing, and they're doing it by leaps and bounds right now.
Okay, well, in contrast to that, you know, the revolution didn't just, it wasn't a Continental Army standing against the strongest army in the world at the time right off the bat. You know, people had to actually sit around, make contacts, discuss ideas, discuss where they're going, and get the word out. Are you doing that?
Yep,
we've been doing that for 8 years.
Okay.
But now more people are paying attention.
What's funny about that is that I have actually witnessed a number of people waking up.
Daily.
In the last 3 years, I have seen more people come to the realization of how defunct our government really is. They question, they ask, they go, oh, well, we need to do, what can I do? And one of the things that I suggest to them is writing on their back window of their car. Something else that I suggest is making a small billboard and placing it at the side of the road. It does not have to be in front of their house. Go to your local courthouse and listen in on to the Board of Supervisors meeting. I'm getting ready to actually go to one here next month to find out what's actually happening. So there's things that everyday people can do that are easy and don't cost anything if they're just willing to give a little bit of their time, and most people are okay with that.
Right, and don't make headlines.
Let me couple what you guys are talking about with my imagination, and I know I'm full of shit sometimes, but that's okay. Here's
the thing.
Like I was saying about the detaining of a police department and a courthouse. Now, let's say we did that, but we did it to the police first, and while we had the police detained and held somewhere, during the time while the trials were getting prepared and then happening, during that time, we used all this knowledge that we have and showed these cops in black and white where they went wrong, where the Constitution did not give them the authority to do this or do that, where they are violating our rights doing this and doing that, and how that blindly following orders is a bad thing. You need to question your authority figures, your superiors, blah, blah, blah. And that way, by the time the cops got to the trial, they would have no excuse because now they know why they're wrong, why they got detained, and blah, blah, blah. What was it that pissed the people off? You know what I'm saying? Now we're putting that knowledge to use.
Okay.
Making billboards, yeah, that's good. But you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Exactly, and you said, hey, Matt, go ahead, call in and shoot holes in what I'm saying. And the hole that I see
that's it, because if somebody thinks of something that I didn't think of and see something wrong, well, that's a good thing. Yeah, shoot holes. Go for it.
So, all right, here we go. The problem is getting enough communities to do that all at the same time, because if it happened in just a limited location or a very few limited locations, the main response is going to be by the state or the federal government to come at in full force of arms against the people who they are going to paint through the mainstream media as terrorists or prisoners, while everyone believes what's coming at them.
Now,
and the problem is that if you
now
believe...
Let me punch a hole in yours. You ready? If I have those four techies, they would never be able to get communication to know what was going on until it was done. And the people that were doing it would have their faces and their hands and their eyes, everything covered, so no facial recognition, would know who they were. And once they disappeared into the crowd and took the mask off, they would just be another person in the crowd. They would not know who did it. So they would be chasing ghosts.
I commend your imagination. I also happen to believe that it would have to happen on a large enough scale that it would be everywhere, so much so that any attempt to mitigate it through arms or force would be seen as the government being the bad guy in fact.
Well,
it would.
Well, let me give you an analogy. Let's say we've got a bad town, and the good guys go walking in, and this is the analogy. They're a big tiger. All right? A big tiger. What's going to happen to that tiger when he got to town? Somebody's going to shoot him, right? Am I right?
Yeah, we're going with you. Go ahead.
I'm waiting for it to get somewhere.
Let's change it now. Take away the tiger and have a swarm of bees. A swarm of bees come into town to do away with all the bad, corrupt people. They ain't going to shoot the damn bees. The bees are going to come in, do their business, and then leave.
Yeah,
you're talking about
yellow jackets.
The bees will disappear into the trees and the woods and stuff.
You're talking
about volume of numbers. Lots and lots of numbers, but in small groups in different places.
let's put it this way. When the military sends in an elite team, it's not a frickin' platoon. It's only about 6 to 10 guys or something like that. And they sneak in unseen. They do their business, and they sneak out. A small elite team can do a whole lot more undercover than a big platoon marching down the road as a standing army. And this government is well-trained and ready for a standing army. So mass numbers is not the answer because they're ready for that.
No, I didn't say mass numbers.
Not ready
I said
for ghosts.
Broadly happening. Because here's the thing, okay?
Yes.
There's only
yes,
so
yes,
long.
Wait. Now, let's put it this way. If today it happened, let's say, in Omaha, and tomorrow it happened over there in Quincy, Illinois, and then the next day it happened down in St. Louis, and then the next day it happened over in New Orleans. It's still happening, maybe not all at once, but it's happening.
Now you're...
And as soon as it hits the news, the mainstream media, yeah, they're going to paint them as domestic terrorists. But the message will be the same in every single one of them. The people that were guilty, the evidence is there. The evidence was also sent to media, so there's no covering it up. There's evidence of everything that you've done, and there's legality to everything you've done. You did not just go in and shoot a bunch of people. You tried them, and then you charged them, tried them, and then hung them.
Okay, ignoring the presumption of guilt resulting in hanging after the trial, I will acknowledge you got around to my point, and that's that, yeah, it has to happen in several places at roughly the same time or in very rapid succession in order for it to not be easily or plausibly dismissed as just a community of rebels trying to overthrow their local government, that it is a true...
No. Well, see, that's what I... Maybe I didn't say it right. No, I'm not talking about just hitting one little tiny town and then that's it. No. That would still send a message, but not big enough. It would not put fear in their hearts because they would actively try to figure out who it is, but they can't do that if you have a good techies to shut down their communications, their traffic cameras, to make you invisible, to go in, do your thing, and get out, and then go move on to the next place, and keep doing it until the government gets the message, we will tolerate tyranny no more. Obey the Constitution. That's the message.
That's a powerful message. That would definitely send a wake-up call. At the same time, the powers that be might be beginning to set up in anticipation of the next event, so to speak,
right.
And wishing to hold on to their power would go, okay, well, now we need to be here because we lost communication with such and such. At the same time, there's another
That's where the details of such a plan can't be said. Because let's put it this way. If you and I are sitting over a campfire, I guarantee you by the time I laid out all the details, you'd be going, holy shit.
Yeah. I'm thinking that now, okay?
the other thing to overcome is getting enough people to believe that they have that authority. You started out saying that 99.5% of the people don't believe
that
they have more authority than
the
federal government. And that's why getting the word out, doing what you're doing, you know, Earl, I have a feeling that you're having, because you're not seeing any very...
It's hard to keep faith when nobody is saying, let's meet, let's talk, I want to hear this.
Well, you'd actually be surprised. There are a number of people, take any poll that you see on regular media, okay, there are lots of people that are fed up and lots of people that think change of some kind needs to happen. We're not talking about the fundamental change of America. We're talking about the change of our government.
Of the usurpation that has occurred to America.
Yes.
Or in.
Well, may I say something on that? I don't want to change our government. I want to restore it to what our founding fathers had it under common law, where we the people, of the people, by the people, we're the most powerful in this government. You remember that little saying, consent, governing with the consent of the governed?
Of the people.
That part?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
And in the Declaration of Independence, where the people shall have the right to alter or abolish any form of government. You remember that?
Yes. Yep, I do.
Yeah, well, the 13th and the 14th Amendment were not legally ratified, and everything this government has done since then is illegal, and therefore it's a de facto government. It is not a government. It's a corporation, and we are living under corporate law, and the only reason why we're letting it get away with it is because the people will not stop recognizing these people as authority figures. They work for you. You're the king and queen of America. Act like
it. Actually, the 13th and the 14th Amendments were both ratified. The 13th Amendment
no,
was
they
ratified.
Were not. They were not.
December,
they were not legally
December 6,
ratified.
December 6, 1865.
In fact,
the 14th Amendment was ratified July 9, 1868.
At gunpoint. At
gunpoint,
okay. Sir. They walked half of them out at gunpoint. It was not legally ratified correctly.
Okay.
If you
that's
don't
in the,
believe
that's
that,
in the
go to Tom Lacavera, and he'll give you all the evidence he's got that proves it. 100% proves it. It is not legal. They did this, and they used the civil rights movement to make it happen.
Yeah, he's referring to go see resurrecttherepublic.com.
Yeah, go to Tom Lacavera, Resurrect the Republic. He's got all the evidence you need to prove what I just said. I've been studying what he's done, and he is absolutely right.
Yeah, as you say, at gunpoint.
Yes, they walked half of the Congress out of there at gunpoint because they did not want to ratify that the 14th Amendment.
But
well,
for
even
people that
just
don't
look
know
at the
what
language
the 14th
of the
14th
Amendment
I've got
assumes
it right here in front of me. All persons born and naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma.
Stop. Right there, there is no language in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights which makes the people subject to anything having to do with government.
Exactly.
Right there,
we are not
once you get to and
citizens.
Subject to the jurisdictions thereof, it is an unconstitutional amendment.
Right. Okay. If you'll let me continue, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges, this is actually a really long one, so I'll just cut it in two parts, or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And that has to do with the NDAA. And they made it legal to detain any person. It doesn't matter if you're an American citizen or not. Any person
yes,
that
we
they
know
wish
that.
To detain. Okay.
And they also made America a battleground. Let's give them what they want.
Exactly.
They want to call America a battleground,
right.
And now let's do it now so our children can live in peace and freedom.
Right.
I mean, that's the other thing, too, is it assumes granting the people privileges and immunities rather than guaranteeing them natural or God-given rights.
Right. People don't know how many amendments there are actually in the Constitution. There's supposedly 27. Some of them under duress, gunpoint, etc. The ones we hear about are 1, 2, 3, 4 through 10. It's really unfortunate that we're not taught about all of them unless you go to constitutional history or a constitutional law class or something like that
right.
to really understand what they are. And that is, you know, we touched on Common Core earlier, and that's, even those are getting thrown out and dissected and to mean nothing to our kids. So, you know, we talked about, you know, cursive writing. You know, if you don't know how to read cursive, if you don't know how to write it, you're not going to be able to read the Constitution unless it's in print someplace. Anybody can change print.
Well, what Rockefeller was it that said it? We don't want a nation of thinkers. We want a nation of workers.
Yeah.
Don't start me on the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, that's a heavy topic.
Yes.
Yeah, unlike what we're talking
Mr.
about
Kiefer,
now.
Mr.
Sorry?
Kiefer, you ought to get Matthew's email because I'll tell you what, Matthew is a walking encyclopedia.
I am not. You're biased.
You are too. he even has Britannica tattooed on his forehead. I'm kidding.
No, but I do bust out my Webster's when I actually want to know something about word origins.
Well,
yeah,
everybody knows the word we shouldn't say. And when I was a kid, I read the definition of that word. It starts with an N, so I'm sure y'all can get to it. And it was the definition that I first read in my life of that word because I wanted to understand it, was a person not worthy of being spat upon. That is almost verbatim. I read it when I was about 9 years old.
Okay.
And to me, that didn't register with any color of skin.
Right.
And there's a reference that Morgan Freeman said, if you want to stop racism, stop calling me a black man, I'll stop calling you a white man. That's part of what our problem is. We have a great separation of people.
Call each other men and or women,
exactly.
Respectively. You know. Yeah.
So it's
yeah, yeah.
Everybody is equal. We're all human, okay? We're either American or this or that or this or that. There's even that separation. So when everybody in the United States can come together and really understand what our founding fathers put forth, that's when things are going to change. And more, like I said earlier, more and more people are waking up to the reality of the lies our government is trying to feed us. You know, you've been number one for the last 3 weeks. Well, I don't see that changing because you are informing people, and that's one of the stages of a revolution is the information, the awakening stage. I hope it doesn't come to trading bullets. That is you know, the worst way to go, of course.
I've been also
Gandhi
saying,
changed
yeah, I'm
so
for
much.
Force, but I am not for bloodshed. So therefore,
exactly.
If there's a way that we can do this and put fear in the government's heart and make them stand trial for their crimes against freedom and the people, I'm all for it. However, it's going to take more than a Facebook post, more than a exchanging articles on the news and all this crap. It's going to actually take action. And let's put it this way. Old John Wayne, he didn't walk in and negotiate with the bad guys. He bitch-slapped them and made them come back with the hat in the hand and show respect. And if he didn't show respect, he got the business end of his gun.
Well, I'd like to, all right, if you want to go into movie concepts, I'd like to throw in a quote from The Hunt for Red October, and that's, how do we make them want to get off the ship?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing, is more people need to want to get off the ship of state that has been sailed near ruin over the last century and a half.
I read an article in Consumer Reports talking about fast food restaurants. The people that are spending money are looking at a better quality of food. Okay, they're tired of Burger King, they're tired of McDonald's, Wendy's, etc. So they're willing to go a little bit farther to get a better quality of food. So to get them to come off of the ship, the example needs to be, okay, well, what is going to make it better than what we have now? How are
right.
we going to get people to see returning to a constitutional republic better than what we have now? There's so many people that are fixated on what
well,
is happening
well,
or,
let,
or
let, let
the
me,
comfort
let
zone.
Me answer that. Let me answer that with one thing. One issue. I really hate going to issues, but I'm gonna do it this time. You ready?
Yes.
We have an immigration problem. All these Mexicans have been coming into our country illegally, and everybody knows that, and it's been happening for quite some time. However, I'm 51 years old, and I remember a time when kids, teenagers older than me at the time, worked on the farms. I grew up in South New Jersey, the blueberry farms and all that. That's where they worked. The kids worked there. But as time went by, the whiny liberals, the bleeding heart liberals, oh, well, that's child abuse. So then they passed laws that prevent kids from going out and working. Now, back when kids were getting off 3 months of school to go help mom and dad or work on the farm with the harvest, they had a purpose in life. They felt like they were worth something, that they worked for what they had, and they were helping the family with the money that they earned or whatever. Well, today's kids do not have that. What do they got? The Xbox to babysit them. They got sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and hanging out on the streets and getting in trouble because they have no purpose. They can't get nothing better than McDonald's for a few measly $100 a week or something. It, you know, it's a lack of purpose, and that's the answer. In order for the people to get back to self-reliance and self-personal responsibility, we've got to give them purpose.
The current state is a testament to the success of the indoctrination to make them into good consumers. I mean, no, look, I'm appalled. I want to throw this in real quick. There are commercials on nowadays where I've been on this earth 9 years and I've never seen anything like it. What does a 9-year-old need with a smartphone?
Yeah.
The only thing they're trying to do is to broaden their market share by selling to children things that children have no need of.
Yeah. There's a number of pictures that go around, Facebook, and one of them is a picture of a bunch of bicycles. And the caption of it is, when I was a kid, to find out where everybody was, all we had to look was see where the bikes were.
Yeah.
And that was my childhood. I mean, it's not that way anymore. Well, where's so-and-so? They're over at so-and-so's house. And then, hey, let's all go over to somebody else's house. Get outside, it's parents being involved in their child's life and kids being allowed to be kids. I mean, kids are not allowed to be kids anymore. I've read, I don't know how many articles about kids getting in trouble because they were building, like, a clubhouse or a treehouse or something like that on an empty lot somewhere. And somebody thought, well, somebody's going to get in trouble. The police showed up and said, you can't do that. The kids get arrested or they get in trouble with their parents or whatever. They're being kids. Let them be kids. All these safe environments in playgrounds, kids don't have a chance to find out where a good, solid boundary of their self-awareness is because everything is so safe. It speaks to the indoctrination that you're talking about where, you get indoctrinated into being a consumer. Or, like you said, the Xbox or the PlayStation, here, go be self-entertained. Don't go outside. Mom and Dad are on the phone, or Mom and Dad have an important TV show to watch, or something like that. I build rockets with my son, and we go out just about every weekend to launch one of them off. I mean, we lost one 2 weeks ago. And it's in the tree someplace, so I had to go get two more, and I'm building them now. Be involved. It's not that difficult. You can be a kid again for even just a little while, and it's fun because you remember through their eyes what it was like to be a kid. That's what they want. They want your attention. They don't want to be entertained by Xbox. They don't want to be entertained by something else. They want your attention, and most of us get that, but we just don't do it because we're too concerned about how am I going to pay this bill or this bill because we get taxed too much. It's all involved, I get frustrated. I mean, I'm worried about how my son is going to grow up. He's 9 years old. What kind of world is he going to grow up in? And I don't want to see his reality being something along the lines of Hunger Games or Divergent or something like that. And it scares me to the point of getting off my butt and doing something. So that's what I do. I do. I go out. It comes down to actually doing something
like you said, instead of sitting behind a keyboard and liking a post or sharing a post or something like that, get up and do something. We've become too complacent and not acting on our convictions in regards to what our government is doing in our name. It's
absolutely well said.
Right on, as Earl likes to say.
I mean, I could go on, and a lot of times I ramble, and it resonates with people, and in a manner I hope that they will also get up and go do. That's why I'm on your radio show tonight. I mean, that's why I was on the radio show before yours, and that's why I was on KCAA radio talking the same thing to Roger Dorn the other night, Friday night, reaching into California. And you need to get with your kids, be a part of their life, remember what it's like to be a kid for even just 15 minutes or half an hour at a time. You know, put the cell phone down, put life down, and be with your kids. They can teach you stuff, and it's amazing. I laugh constantly with my son, and I wouldn't change having him for the world.
It's hard nowadays. It's hard nowadays. Because these poor kids, the little girls, they see all these so-called sexy movie stars wearing these skimpy outfits, acting like Beyonce, and then they want to go and be like that too, and then they get into this twerking stuff, and then they don't realize how trashy it looks. And girls today don't know the difference between slutty and sexy. They don't know the difference. I mean, hell, I don't think that there's any young women wouldn't know a lady if it slapped them in the face.
Yeah. I mean, Caroline Kendrick was a lady.
Same thing with the guys. Same thing with the guys. Yeah. Guys wouldn't know what a gentleman is if it smacked them in the face.
I'm lucky in that respect or regard because I live in Virginia, and I see many men hold doors open for women. When I'm out here and there or whatever, I still see men that open the doors for their wife, you know, that they've been married to for, you know, 10, 15, 16, you know, 20 years.
Or their elders or just
Matthew
the next person coming in.
The same thing.
I'm sorry?
Matthew does the same thing, and yeah, he said that, or the next person coming in.
Or your elders.
Down in Georgia, we have boys and girls that, yes, ma'am, no, sir, and all that, but that's about the extent of their gentleman and ladiness.
Right.
When the adults ain't around, they're just as trashy as everybody else.
Right. So It comes down, you know, people want to say, well, it's the government's fault. No, it's not the government's fault. It's actually your fault as a parent.
Yeah.
You know, you're the example of the next generation. They learn directly from you because you're the person they look up to.
Well, you know, I agree with that, but then again, there's people like my daughter. My daughter took the easy road. She was not raised to behave the way she does, but she made her own path once she turned of age, and she just decided she was going to go this way instead of that way, and I'm looking at her going, I didn't raise you that way. So, you know, the influence may start with the parents, but all the friends and their friends have a lot to do with it too. But as far as government, yeah, the only way I would say government has any blame whatsoever is because they want to get in there and teach our children that it's okay to have sex. Here's a condom. It's okay to be yourself. Everything's good. All's good. No, it's not. You need to be, like I said to my wife today, you got the weeds. The weeds grow like crazy. But you got to actually take time to work with the plant so that it'll produce fruit.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, one of the ironies that I see is that many in government today are the ones who, during the 60s and 70s, marched for civil rights, marched against the war, and now it seems that they're
they've almost done a 180 as far as what it is they're trying to achieve for the country.
Well, there was I think she was 95, 90-something. She was arrested for protesting in front of the courthouse, taken to jail, and she said, I didn't think that I would have to be doing this at my age because not enough people do it. I mean, she sees what's going on, obviously. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been there at her age. And there's a – to get back to the movie scene here real quick, my son and I watch How to Train Your Dragon. We love the movie. We've got both movies. We also watch the television show. And in one of the episodes, the girl character says, you know, she's like pretty much bashing these boys' heads, saying, you know, our parents' war is about to come out, become ours. Pick which side you're on. And that kind of has a ring to it when it comes to this old lady being arrested in front of a courthouse. Where are the people that do the sit-in? You know, where are, you know, you look at Occupy Wall Street and the people that were sitting there getting sprayed with pepper spray doing nothing about it, just sitting there, you know, while the cop was walking by, here you go, have some of this. That wouldn't have happened, you know, when that lady was doing that protest, because those people would have been standing up and saying, this is wrong. You know, they got sprayed with hoses, you know, during, you know, the Martin Luther King, you know, protest, civil rights protest. People were actually fighting back. We aren't fighting back. And I'm not saying let's go out there and, you know, make a whole bunch of fuss. But then you look at Ferguson. We didn't see a whole lot of, you know, fighting back. But it was there because mainstream didn't want you to see it. I mean, there's numerous posts on Facebook where people were actually fighting back against the police, and there were also bunches of pictures and videos where police were actually marching with the protesters. If you haven't seen them, you've got to go look at them. Press has been, you know, reduced to almost nothing when it comes to that. Well, here, you can sit in this spot and you can take all the pictures you want because that's where it's okay to do so because we said so. That's not what the press is for. That's not, you know,
right,
that's not
on
using your First Amendment rights. And to look back at a recent example, again, it's Bundy Ranch. The people looked at that sign and they said, this is your First Amendment area. Are you kidding me? And they ignored it. They had numbers, they had strength behind them, and, you know, the Bureau of Land Management had to back down. And at the same time, there were a number of people looking for that to be, you know, the beginning. They're looking for Ferguson to have been the beginning. And we don't want, we've all expressed it here, we don't want it to be bloodshed. We would prefer that it not be bloodshed. We're looking for a peaceful resolution to return our country to a constitutional republic, the law of the land being the Constitution. It's supposed to regulate our government,
well,
not our government regulating our people.
Right.
Kiefer,
yes,
we've got about 6 minutes left on the show, but since you wanted to take us into the movie theme, have you ever seen the movie The Immortals?
No, but I have seen The Adjustment Bureau.
Ooh.
All right, well, The Immortals, there's the evil king that wants to release the Titans, and they come to the city where the Titans are being held by the gods. And well, the evil king, he's storming the city, and there's one dude that is rallying the people to fight the giant army that's behind this evil king, except for the politicians in this here city, they're more like the people, but not, I don't know how to explain, they're bureaucrats, like, okay, and they're trying to talk to the guy that's trying to rally the army to fight the evil king. No, we will negotiate, we will find another way, a peaceful way to do it. Well, finally the evil king storms his way in. And the good guy that was leading the people, he was over there fighting somebody else, trying to keep the city from being overwhelmed. Well, the evil king made his way to where the politicians were, and the politicians stood there and says, well, is there some way that we can negotiate? And the only thing the evil king did was walk by and cut his throat. So much for negotiations. You don't negotiate with evil. You kill it.
Correct.
Can I throw in this before we depart, Earl?
Yeah, we still got 5 minutes.
Okay, I read this to you earlier. Last night, this some thoughts spilled out of my brain onto a piece of paper. If you believe that all law enforcement officials are always right, honest, unerring, and above reproach in performing their duties, that you have no right to question or know the reason for their actions, that you must comply with everything one of them might tell you to do, that they will always protect you and yours rather than covering the six of one of their brothers in arms, even when he or she might be wrong, that their authority, quote-unquote, to detain you or enter your property supersedes your right to know why they are doing so, then congratulations, you are right where they want you. If, however, you do not believe the above-listed points, then there might still remain some hope for your community, state, and the nation our founding fathers intended, provided enough of us don't believe.
That's cool.
Very well said. You wrote that, didn't you, Matthew?
Yeah, that spilled out of my brain last night.
That's cool.
Well, Denise Freeman wants to know, why don't you just get more involved? They need a brain like yours.
Exactly.
Because sometimes I get kind of disheartened on my situation. So let your listeners know, it is by Earl and Linda's grace and love that I am where I'm at. I owe so much to Earl and Linda. Saying the words thank you is so insufficient. I really should get off my figurative laurels and put some of what brain cells I have remaining to work for Earl.
well, we could definitely use a writer.
Your situation was not your fault. You did not ask to get cancer, and you didn't ask to lose everything getting cancer, and your family. Ain't that what family's supposed to be? A safety net for people that are having a hard time? I mean, if it was the other way around, you would take me and Linda in, wouldn't you?
It used to be. I dread to think of what it would be like relying entirely on the government.
Yeah. That would be a joke. No, we really would.
Yep.
We really could use a writer. We really could. Keeper will tell you, that's probably one of the hardest things we've been able to find is somebody that can hear what we're saying and actually apply it to paper.
Do you all have contacts for Earl? Can you, through him, transmit
Matthew does not succumb to Facebook.
I don't do Twitbook or Facers or whatever. I do emails. I have been thinking I might need to start a blog for some of Earl's points.
Actually, we just incorporated tonight an alternate to Facebook that has been unimpenetrable, or however you say this word.
Impenetrable?
It's late. Yeah, there you go. Supposedly for 23 years of service. So very much like Facebook in the way it's set up.
I'm kind of technologically challenged.
Join
while
the club,
I do
brother.
Know my way around the computer, I don't know my way around all the social media.
That's way smarter than me.
If you have just an email,
anyway,
we can get in touch with you, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from one of about four of us or five of us
Okay.
And, we can go through emails
message.
That way. That's not a problem.
And
yeah,
we have
send me a message with your email, and I'll forward it to Matthew, or the other way around, and this way you guys can be in touch. And yeah, Matthew
right.
is very elegant with his words, but he takes time before he writes because he's hard to talk to at home because he will pause for quite a while because he has to contemplate what he's saying before he says it. But
well, that's actually
what
a
makes
thing.
Matthew Matthew. Anyway, we are at the end of the show, and I have to get up at 4 in the morning and get my ass over to New York. So I have to say goodnight, and thank
make
you,
sure
everybody,
I get that link.
For coming on. I'll do that. I'll be doing the 9/11 trucking rally. I will be live streaming, and I will make sure Denise has the link to that live stream. And I will be recording as well, just in case they try to shut us down. But I will not let the media bury it like they did last year. That ain't going
to
do.
I can assure you, if you want media, we can get you media.
Oh, yeah. We
and I'd like to thank
media.
You all for your
we
work
want
on the border.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll get off. Keeper is our PIO of We, the American People, and I'm sure he will make a point to spread the knowledge.
All right, guys. We got to say goodnight and come back again next Sunday and bring your friends.
No, yeah.
All righty.
Good night, y'all.
God
stay
bless
safe.
Everybody. Night.
Peace in.
Old Smokey has got them ears on. He's hot on your trail. He ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him, you've got to duck him. You got to keep that diesel trucking. Just put that hammer down and give it hell. He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?